everyone who will live the gospel of Jesus Christ daily and endure to the end will gain eternal life. This is the promise of the Lord. In its essentials, the gospel is simple. Simple.
This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the core.
Welcome back to a very short episode of Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today I'm going to share a little something a good friend of mine created. What you're about to hear makes much more sense when you view it on YouTube. We'll post a link on our website and on our Facebook page. It was created by Brother Jake, and he has a little something to say to Mormons everywhere who would try to complicate the gospel. Because the gospel, you see, is actually quite simple.
Hi, I'm Brother Jake. And in response to all these so-called intellectuals coming to church and talking about how complicated the gospel is, I wanted to set the record straight. If there was one word I'd use to describe the gospel, I think it would be simple. Let me explain.
You see, it all has to do with God's plan for us. Before we were born, we lived with God, and he had this idea that we should come live here and be tested so we could become like him. So we all came down to earth to follow the gospel of Christ and become members of his one true church that was restored on the earth.
Wait, you know, I should probably back up and explain a couple things really quick. Because since the whole point of life was to avoid Satan's temptations and follow God's commandments so we can be happy, people needed some way to learn about them. So God would call these dudes as prophets, starting with Adam and going to Abraham and Moses and Joshua and all those other guys, and tell them what was up and give them the priesthood, which was like the authority of God. But every once in a while, the people would reject the prophets and kill them, so then the priesthood would be lost and nobody could be saved. When that happens, it's called an apostasy. And for things to get back on track, God would have to go find some other dude and say, hey, we need a prophet, and here's the priesthood, so get out there and spread the word. And when that happens, it's called a restoration. So Christ came as the Son of God to restore the word of God after an apostasy, but he also taught that everyone should turn the other cheek, and instead of doing stuff like sacrificing animals, they needed to get baptized and get the Holy Spirit to be saved. When people started to do that, they became members of his church, which he set up by calling these 12 guys that followed him around as apostles and giving them the priesthood so they could give people legit baptisms and stuff. Then Jesus did something called the atonement, where he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross for all the bad things anyone will ever do, and all the bad things that will ever happen to anyone. Then, 3 days after he died, he came back to life and went back to heaven. Now, the apostles were supposed to keep the church running so that people could hear about Jesus and get real baptisms by the real priesthood, but people killed them all, and the true gospel and the priesthood got lost. That's called the Great Apostasy. Fast forward to 1820. There was a 14-year-old named Joseph Smith who wanted to know which church was true. So he prayed to God, and God and Jesus appeared to him and said that none of them were true and called him to be the prophet to restore the true church again. And through Joseph Smith, God revealed all sorts of cool stuff, like the Book of Mormon, which is the ancient writings of some people that lived in 600 BC and sailed to America from Jerusalem and lived here for thousands of years before all the good ones died, and someone buried the metal book with their history written on it in a hill behind where Joseph Smith would live 700 years later when he translated their writing by the power of God. And that's how you can know that Joseph Smith was a real prophet, and this is the one true church of Christ. Joseph also got the priesthood back from angels that came down and gave it to him so he could put back the church the way it was when Jesus was alive, you know, with like 12 apostles and stuff. And the restoration of the priesthood meant that people could really start living the true gospel of Christ again, which has some steps. First, you gotta believe in Jesus. Then you gotta repent of all the bad things you do. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna stop doing anything bad because, you know, nobody's perfect, but you gotta try. Then you gotta get baptized, but not just by anybody. You have to be baptized by a bona fide priesthood holder because otherwise it won't count. It would be like if an ice cream truck pulled you over and gave you a speeding ticket. Would you pay that ticket? No way, because it's a freaking ice cream truck. They got no authority. Same thing with getting baptized. Same thing with getting the gift of the Holy Ghost. They have to be done by somebody with the real priesthood. That's why it's important to be in the true restored church. But even after that, you still have to keep living a good life. You know, being nice and charitable and paying your tithing and only having heterosexual sex with the person you're married to after you're married and going to church for 3 hours every Sunday and serving in the lay clergy and reading your scriptures every day and praying every day and having family home evening and not drinking coffee or tea or alcohol or using tobacco or drugs. What else? Oh, I almost forgot. The temple. The temples are these super sacred places where you can only get in if you follow God's rules and are part of the true church. Now, in the temple, you can get married so that your family stays together after you die. Also, in the temple, you can do stuff like get baptized for people that are dead, so people have a chance to be saved even if they didn't get to hear about the true church while they were alive, which is pretty great because otherwise all the people who lived between the Great Apostasy and Joseph Smith would be pretty much screwed. Anyway, thanks to the gospel, which is all those steps I talked about before, and the atonement of Christ, we can be cleansed from sin and get into heaven. One quick note about heaven, turns out there are three levels. top level is called the celestial kingdom, and that's where we can go and be with our families and be just like God. Then there's the terrestrial kingdom, where you go if you were good, but you didn't get baptized in the true church and go to the temple and all that. It's pretty good, but you don't get to go with your family and do cool God stuff. Then there's the telestial kingdom, where all the bums and partiers go. Oh, if you're like really, really bad, you can go to outer darkness with Satan, but that's pretty rare. So that's the gospel. Come here, learn about Christ's gospel, believe in Jesus, learn about the restored true church, get baptized, get the gift of the Holy Ghost, go to the temple, get married, do all the other stuff there, live by God's rules for the rest of your life, and you get into super VIP heaven. See? Simple.
Pretty good, Brother Jake. Of course, you really need to sit down and watch it with all the visuals, so check it out. In the meantime, I sat down with Jake to talk about why he made this video and what other videos he plans to make in the future.
Is it premature to do it for the first one? You think?
What kind of premature?
What kind of premature? I don't know, the dictionary definition.
I'm trying to think of something that rhymes with ejaculation. I'm not getting it.
I see where you went there.
Now, I've got to apologize. It sounds like I recorded this conversation with Jake in an echoish chamber, but that's just the filter that I had on my microphone. I can't get it off, so you're stuck with it. But here's the interview. I hope you enjoy it.
So tell me what you've done. You've put together this YouTube video. Why don't you tell me about it?
Okay, well, it came about... My wife and I came home from church, and we'd just kind of gotten fed up with people talking about... We'd gotten fed up with people sitting in church and talking about how simple the gospel was when, you know, I'd spent so much time on my mission trying to explain exactly... Well, the thing is that you can distill the gospel down to, like, these bullet points of what you have to do, but the thing is each aspect of it is like really really complicated, and there's all this backstory that you have to know. Like, you have to know about dispensations and prophets to know about like the restoration and the great apostasy to know about like the restoration of the church. So what I did is just basically recorded as complete of an explanation as of the gospel as I could, and then just as fast, it's me talking as fast as I could, and then animated it with just a little online program thing.
Okay, we're done. So okay. Yeah. So tell me, when you were at church, what was it that you heard? You know, somebody saying that the gospel was simple. What was the context for that?
The context was actually a conversation that I had. Well, that happened when my wife was in the young women's teacher or something. She'd gotten released because she'd had a disagreement. Well, we don't know it's because of this, but anyway, she had a disagreement with a newly called counselor in the young women's about how this woman kept saying that the gospel is simple, that the gospel is not complicated, it's simple, it's straightforward. But I guess I don't really know the context. It just keeps happening. I don't have a good story about that. There's not like a specific anecdote. It was just one day we were talking about it, and I know I've heard it before, but I don't remember.
So what do you think people mean when they say the gospel's simple? Like, what? I don't even know what the gospel is if you're trying to, you know, define it as one thing, let alone to say it's simple.
Okay, well, what I would say the gospel is, when they say the gospel's simple, I assume what they're referring to, and what I was referring to, I've said this before, I said on my mission, but what I was referring to when I said it was this checklist of things you have to do to get into heaven. That once you, if you distill it down, it's really just faith in Christ, repentance, baptism in the true church, gift of the Holy Ghost, marriage in the temple, endowment, marriage in the temple, don't screw up, go to heaven. So that's what I'm talking about. That's what I think it means when people say it's simple. I think that's what they're talking about, is this kind of this condensed, distilled bullet point checklist of what you need to do to get into heaven. So it's the idea that the gospel is simple, but that Satan is who makes it complex and clouds it, so that we can't understand it. That we just have these like Satan clouds in our brains so that we don't understand it.
Or intellectuals, right?
Well, the intellectuals are servants of Satan, of course.
They're puppets.
Right. They're the puppets of the puppet master.
Okay. So how does Satan make the gospel complicated?
Well, he brings about these, you know, complicated issues like, you know, history and wondering whether or not events that were purported to have actually taken place in the objective universe actually took place in the objective universe.
Yeah, why does he do that?
I don't know. It's just so messed up, right? I mean, we're trying to do the right thing here, and he just keeps throwing down, like, facts and logic, and it's just messing us up. That's just what I feel like.
He's, like, trying to cut people with Occam's razor. And
right.
Like, why would the devil do something so complicated like that?
It's just, he just wants everyone to be miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just hates everybody all the time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's simple.
Right. So that's simple.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have that.
All right. So who is Brother Jake? I mean, what?
Oh, Brother Jake is a you know, kind of a naive optimist. You said that, right? Yeah.
I was going to say overzealous.
Right.
I just couldn't type it. I couldn't text it.
No, right. I mean, it's a long word, and it's got that Z in there, you know? So, I don't know. It's like a this kind of... I like the word overzealous. This kind of overzealous, naive, optimistic guy who thinks he can just kind of explain everything away. That if he just had the right explanation, then all doubts would just disappear, right? If you can just say it the right way, then, like, everything could just go away.
So he's really sincere about the simplicity of the gospel, and he's completely unaware of his own irony.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, the last shot of me going, see, simple, it's kind of, you know, it's...
But that's where...
Well,
that's where Jake kind of peeks through Brother Jake and winks at the YouTube viewing audience.
Right, right.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, it's supposed to be satirical, so, you know, I'll allow myself that. But, yeah, I mean, I imagined it's like a... I kind of set it up as a, you know, sincere person.
And so you want people to watch this? You want people to go to YouTube right now and watch this?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll enjoy it.
Why?
Because it's awesome. It's actually...
No, but why do you want them to watch it? What are you getting out of it?
What am I... I get satisfaction out of them watching it. I really do. I think this is a... This... I think it speaks to... it definitely spoke to an issue that I had and was very... There's a lot of catharsis in making it. And I think in watching it, too, it's very accessible. It's a lot of fun. And it's... I mean, it's good. I don't know. Yeah.
Right. Well, that was a nice three pattern. So, tell me, what's next for Brother Jake?
Well, Brother Jake's going to tackle some of the most complex and intricate aspects of the gospel, such as where do we go after we die? What was the deal with polygamy? What about blacks and the priesthood? All these thorny, hairy issues. Brother Jake's just going to use the razor of truth, not Occam's razor, but the razor of you know, of gospel truth, and just cut right through them.
To show why it's not really a problem.
Right, it's not really a problem. And you don't have to be worried, you know. You don't have to be worried about what happens after you die, right? Because there's no problem. I mean, maybe you'll be stuck in spirit prison for a while, but, you know, it's not that bad. And, like, eventually you'll get through, you know, on the other side. Because if you baptize five people, and then they all baptize five people, you know, it's like God's pyramid scheme.
You don't want to shoot your wad right now.
We already talked about premature.
Right, that's right.
This may be a short episode, but it would be premature to end the podcast here. So let's wrap it up with some panel discussion with our good friends Tom and Randy. Is this something that you guys heard a lot, that the gospel's simple?
Yeah. I mean, I heard it, but not like it was a slogan, not like God once was what man may be or whatever. Not like that.
No.
Well, there's a scripture that when people like to trump how simple the gospel is. It's a scripture that says something to the effect of that this is pure religion, basically like serving others. And
yeah, well, and then there's also, you know, when I was in the believing mindset, I used to go to my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Right.
And I would say, see, you know, so for all those people who like to say, I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it. Jesus did say it wouldn't be easy. He said it right there.
So. But at the same time, you'd look at someone who's investigating the church, or at least I would, and I'd be like, oh my God, you have no idea how much you have to learn to get into heaven.
Yeah.
I would just, it was something that gave me a lot of cognitive dissonance as a believer. You'd see these really good people, but then in your mind, you're like, well, there's a lot of stuff they got to do to get to where I am, celestial material.
Yeah, right.
Before they can, I mean, this is really, it was like almost depressing to think about. What are the odds that they're going to get to the level of testimony I have of all the intricacies of the gospel? And it was always a depressing thought.
Yeah.
Well, depressing, but it's also, it feeds your ego, though. I mean, you're kind of like, hey, you know, you put your hands out, like, check this out. You want to be like this? I mean, I guess it could be a confidence booster.
Yeah, I got so much to teach you because I know so much.
Yeah.
I got all the inside information.
So, right. So you guys have both heard this, you know, like Tom, you said not as a slogan, but you've heard people say the gospel is simple.
Sure.
First, do you agree with that statement? Do you think that the gospel is simple?
You're asking me the way I think now or yeah. back then or both?
Take it however you want.
The gospel is not simple, no. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I think it's extremely complicated. I think if you were to just break down the simplistic version of the plan of salvation where, you know, there's a pre-existence and there's earth where we're being tested and then there's the judgment and then we're all divided up into whatever kingdoms and say, okay, see, you know, case in point, it's simple. That's how it works. Yeah, it's a lot more complicated than just that.
Yeah, when you put it in flow chart, it simplifies it a little bit, but doesn't make it make any more sense. When you factor in all the things like the temple, which the video did great, it's like, oh yeah, I almost forgot the temple.
Yeah.
And you learn about all of the little things you have to do to make it past the sentinels in heaven to get into heaven. It's like, wow. And we got to spend all this time doing the work for everybody. What a colossal waste of time. You know, we're going to spend the whole millennium meeting these legalistic requirements of this God. Spend a whole 1,000 years with celestial computers working night and day just getting all this goddamn bureaucratic bullshit done. So it's not simple when you take the whole of the theology of the Mormon Church. If you want to, you can boil down some of the major points in a flow chart and make it look simple, but the reality is it's not simple.
So do you know who disagrees with you, Randy?
Oh, lots of people.
Yeah. But, yeah. But
on what?
But especially, yeah, right. But especially President Gordon B. Hinckley.
No.
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah. In fact, I have a quote from him here that was in an Ensign article in 1984. So he says, "To me, the gospel is not a great mass of theological jargon. It is a simple and beautiful and logical thing with one quiet truth following another in orderly sequence. I do not fret over the mysteries. I do not worry whether the heavenly gates swing or slide. I am only concerned that they open." End quote.
He wasn't prophet when he said that. So, yeah, I mean, how much?
He was a lowly second counselor.
Yeah.
And he also said that, you know, I don't know if we teach that. I don't know if we, you know, admonish that as far as polygamy goes. So maybe he wasn't fully understanding all of the intricacies and complexity of the gospel.
Yeah, well, maybe. But what do you think people mean when they say that the gospel is simple? Because they're thinking of something. I mean, so maybe it's not the theological, you know, eternal computers and things like that that you're thinking of. But they're thinking of something, that something is simple and don't complicate it. Because that's really what, you know, they're saying. Don't come in here and try and complicate this. It's really a simple thing. Let's just keep our faith simple. What are they talking about?
The faith, repentance, baptism, and gift of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so simple. So it's
don't forget enduring to the end.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, they always go to that. It's those four things. If you just, you know, read your scriptures, pray, faith, repentance, gift of the Holy Ghost, baptism, those things, you're good to go. All that other stuff is kind of peripheral. All that stuff will work itself out in the end.
Well, by their very nature, are black and white thinkers, and they want everything to be clear cut, right and wrong. And so, if you're able to kind of package this complex theology into, you know, a few simple universal truths like love thy neighbor, treat others like you'd like to be treated, you know, basic moral things, broad stroke morality. It kind of gives them more comfort. It sets their world in order, gives them a sense of control over their world, or the illusion of control that we all like to have. And so I think they give lip service to it being simple because, you know, we all want to be good people. And those are kind of the simple things in the gospel. But in practice, they want more from their members than just the simple being good. They want tithing money. They want attendance at the temple. They want people fulfilling their callings.
Yeah, but I think you can condense it into one simple idea, and maybe even one simple word, and that's follow the prophet, or maybe it's just obey. And if I really think that's what members mean when they say the gospel is simple. All you have to do is follow the prophet. And, you know, there's that quote, was it McConkie? I don't know, that says, you know, once the prophet has spoken, the thinking has been done. You know, I think that's what there's, don't try and complicate things. Don't try and let go of the iron rod, the word of God. It comes to us through his prophets. We know there's a prophet. So just follow what he says and don't make things difficult.
And it's not, that's actually a really good point. Much better than my convoluted, protracted response, but, it's not just follow the prophet, it's follow the lines of authority. And it's not just an orthopraxy, it's an orthodoxy. Like, they don't want people getting too, like, you know, I was a high priest group leader, so, that, you know, the reputation is that we get bored with the basics and we try to do deep doctrinal, speculation. And they don't like that. They don't want controversy. They want to keep everyone kind of monolithic in their thinking, and it keeps the order. You know, you don't question your rank and file leaders. You don't question the priesthood authority in your home, and then you can maintain the order. You don't get people trying to push Heavenly Mother or trying to wear pants to church. you know, that's orthopraxy and orthodoxy. You know, they just want to keep the order, keep the control.
Yeah, well, because that's going...
That's a really good point, Glenn.
It's going outside of what the prophet has said. It, you know, Tom, you mentioned that the gospel is simple, has never reached, like, slogan status. But at some point in your experience with the Mormon Church, whether it's on your mission or in priesthood quorums or something, you must have come across the acronym KISS. K-I-S-S, Keep It Simple, Stupid. Have you never come across that?
If I have, I don't recall it. I mean, no.
Really?
I have to say no. Yeah.
That's pretty ubiquitous, I think.
KISS, Keep It Simple, Stupid. I always thought it was Knights in Satan's.
Yeah, right. Knights in Satan's service. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so. right. Yeah, that's a different KISS.
Oh, sorry.
Satan's service.
Yeah, but we had that in my mission. I remember, you know, because the APs are always coming up with a new mission program, you know, so and they're really just recycling a bunch of old ones, but making it seem like it's new. And one of them for us was the KISS plan, the, you know.
Did they actually call it the KISS plan, really?
Well, they drew KISS up on the board and did Keep It Simple, Stupid. And it
but they didn't do like lips, you know, and try to use that symbol or
that
they did?
No. Nobody used lips. I don't think that would go over very well with missionaries. That might be counterproductive.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of idiot APs.
Sure.
Well, yeah. there's also another trend in the church. In the early days, the interesting days of the Mormon Church, there was a lot of openness to wild speculation and theology, and people were free to kind of come up with their own ideas. But over time, as the church has entered into its modern era after David O. McKay and Correlation took over, they have attempted to make it seem simple and simplify. And you know, I mean, what was the seminary answer? Did you guys have the seminary answer? Pray, read the scriptures, go to church. That's all that matters.
Right.
Pray, read the scriptures, go to church. It's simple. It's simple, you know, and it's just another way to just kind of keep the psychological and emotional control of the people.
It's the whole milk before meat mentality.
Yeah, and then the meat never comes.
Oh, wah, wah, wah. So let me boo-hoo to you.
Do we just sound like a bunch of bitter?
You do.
Disgruntled.
You're like, oh, the meat never came, so I'm going to go find it someplace else. But
okay, tell me where you got the meat. Did you get the meat?
I don't care about the meat.
There's
no meat. So, well, actually, no, there is meat. Yeah, I mean, just the philosophical exercise of exploring things was meat enough for me, but it I don't know. I'm thinking of a really bad pun right now. It's not meat that you should be commanded in all things. That's stupid. Anyways, Yeah. I want to ask you guys about this video that Brother Jake put out, though. Was there
How
anything?
Do you know this guy? Is he like your ward member or something like that?
Well, I was Jake's home teacher about 2 years ago. And then Jake and Erica, they did...
Is that Jake? I didn't know it was that Jake.
Yeah. Randy's talked with them before. They did a podcast with us. What was that? That was the father-in-law.
Pornography.
Yeah, the father-in-law pornography interview one for Mormon Expression. And I think he did a conference review or something like that. But and he was on our apostasy one that we did. I interviewed Jake and Erica. So he's been a friend of mine for a while. But he got so excited about this idea, and he debuted it to a group of us here in the Indianapolis area, and we just loved it. We thought it was really funny.
The disappointing thing was I was like, okay, I'm going to do some research today. I got to read all the comments. It has like 11 views and no comments.
Well, he hasn't launched like, it
damn.
Yet.
Oh, he hasn't launched
so
it
we're,
yet.
We're, oh. We are a part of his launch plan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's debuting now. So we'll put the link up so people can go and watch it, and you can see what kind of comments he has with it. But I'm interested in your comments. What did you guys think about it?
I thought it was really well done. I thought it was humorous. I thought it was very witty, and I thought he went very quickly through the majority of the bullet points of, you know, each factual piece of doctrine that I thought would be relevant. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was just short enough. And yeah, I thought it was. My only complaint would be is it seemed like he was towing the line of satire to serious. And I was kind of thinking, well, this could easily be a TBM Mormon putting this out.
Ha! I'm not the only one.
But then I was thinking, well, I mean, well, he wouldn't be putting in the comic book, you know, explosion priesthood, you know, if he. I guess that he probably wouldn't be doing that if it was a TBM Mormon. It would probably be a little more, have a more reverent tone to it.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Well, the first, if you get halfway through it, at that point, about halfway through, it almost felt like an elevator speech of someone trying to get you to take the first discussion, and by the end of it, I was fairly certain it was satire, but I've seen stuff that in writing and in videos that is so bad you would thought it was written by The Onion, but it was actually legit. And so this was like Tom said, it kind of walked that line. He could have been a lot more snarky in the way he presented it, but I think maybe that's a better strategy because he might lure in some TBMs. To actually watch it, feel good about it at first, going, yeah, this guy's really putting it down quick, concise. This is great. I'm going to use this. Wait a minute. or if he has a snarky tone right from the beginning, you know, they're not going to get all the way through it.
Yeah, I think he'll probably smile a bit when he hears this because that's really what he was going for. When he was putting together the examples, you know, like I asked him, why didn't he use Kolob or Jackson County, Missouri, or any of these kinds of things when, you know, you're talking about how the gospel can be so complicated? And he said he didn't want to get fringy. You know, he wanted to stick to the things that were undeniably core to, you know, what we consider the gospel.
I believe Kolob is in the canon of the LDS
scripture. Yeah.
It's not fringy.
I know. Yeah. So, He has this idea. He wants to make a series of this, you know, like Brother Jake explains blank, you know. So this one was the gospel. Do you guys have any thoughts what he should do next?
You mean like keeping it in relation to whatever equals simple, like that?
Kind of like that. Or you know, like people say that polygamy is a problem. You know, that's why people leave the church. But here's why it's not a problem. You know,
it's simple.
Yeah. It's simple. Or, you know. So there's one example that could be polygamy.
I think a history of the temple ceremony itself could be an interesting, yet controversial topic. Well,
I know what Tom's going to say.
What?
Why Mountain Meadows Massacre wasn't really a big deal.
Yeah, that's good. But no, I was actually thinking a temple divorce and how simple that is.
Yeah.
how about like taking the next logical step on what it's really going to be like in the celestial kingdom with everybody sealed in all these different directions.
Yeah.
You could come up with a pretty funny visual diagram of that.
Yeah.
Or you could do this one, how to do home teaching and keep it simple. You just lie to your Elders Quorum president, tell him you did it.
Yeah. That would be a short
That'd be
video.
Like a 5-second video.
Oh, I'd like it.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, this does it for this episode of Infants on Thrones. I hope you enjoyed it. We're launching the career of Brother Jake. Fantastic. So, anyone for the closing prayer?